Oh, yeah. God is good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Yes.
Is anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord? Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is the Father's house.
Yes.
This is not the hog pen.
Yes.
There's joy in the house.
Yes.
Peace in the house.
Yes.
Salvation in the house.
Yes.
Healing in the house.
Yes.
Prosperity in the house.
Yes.
Everything you need is in the house.
Yes.
Everything you want is in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. Not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for these exceeding great and precious promises, Lord, in the book that you've given us. Thank you for this great assembly gathered here this morning in the name of Jesus. Pray this morning that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority to believer that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, all right, we're in the book of Acts.
I almost said
Romans. I don't know why.
Book of Romans.
I don't know why. I don't know where that was going
to
come from.
But I'm supposed to praise Romans.
Book of Romans. All right, praise the Lord. I got through. Where Brother Thurston is a couple of chapters back, but we're so I asked Sister Mary what I was supposed to do. She said we'll start over. So I'm going to start over.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I'm not going to start with chapter one. I'm going to start with chapter two. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter two, verse one. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Are there any Pentecostal folks in here this morning?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Pentecostal folks ought to understand Pentecost, right?
Amen.
We should understand Pentecost. Since nobody else understands Pentecost, Pentecostal people ought to understand Pentecost. So I guess we understand what was going on here, right? Let me read a little further and see how we do. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and they sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Did it say that they began to speak with other tongues? Does it say that?
They began to speak with other tongues.
That's what it says, doesn't it? It says, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then it's got a whole laundry list of people here. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya and Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, were they speaking in tongues?
When they came out, you're saying?
Were they speaking in tongues when everybody heard them speak in their own language?
Yes.
They were?
What's a
All right.
That was a miracle.
All right. Let's talk about that. That's what we
that
need to talk about.
That wasn't the same as when they were in the other.
That is correct. That is correct, Sister Mary. You absolutely got it right. Sister Mary understands something about Pentecost. Okay. Now here we got to read this really carefully, because let me say this. All right, let's go to the tongues chapter of the Bible. All right, First Corinthians. You know what that is, right? You know what that is. The tongues chapter of the Bible. Where is that?
Isaiah.
First Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good though. That is a good tongues chapter. But the tongues chapter, the Bible is 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul laid out all of this, how tongues operates in this dispensation. Now he says here in chapter 14 and verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, well, let me back up because we need to get that first verse. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. All right, now let's go back to Acts chapter 2.
So they were prophesying.
They were prophesying. When people understood them, they were prophesying. Were they speaking unto men? Yes. They were speaking for the benefit of those who were there from all these nations. So they were speaking unto men. Did someone understand them?
Yes.
Then they weren't speaking in tongues. Because Paul said, if you speak in tongues, no man understandeth.
That's why we have to have an interpreter.
That's why you have to have an interpreter. If you speak in tongues, if you want tongues to be interpreted, you have to. It has to be accompanied with the gift of interpretation. Otherwise, it's a total mystery. So they were speaking unto men, and someone understood them. Therefore, they were not speaking in tongues. Not at that time.
Right.
But that wasn't the initial evidence of when they first received the Holy Ghost. That wasn't what happened when the Holy Ghost first came to them. They spoke in tongues. Okay. But they were all by themselves in the upper room.
Right.
There weren't a whole bunch of onlookers standing around gawking at them. A bunch of unbelievers.
Right.
No, they were by themselves. Said they were all of one place in one accord. And these other folks weren't in one accord with them.
So that could be another sign of receiving the Holy Ghost. When you can give a prophecy in somebody else's language. I've heard this happen in church before. That somebody will be Chinese or something and they'll give something out and they can hear it. So would that be another sign of guilt?
Well, you can't do that unless you've been filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's what I mean, because normally I couldn't go speak Chinese or something.
Well, yes.
There are incidents.
That may happen. That may happen. As a matter of fact, when Cornelius and his bunch received the Holy Ghost, it says they spoke with tongues and prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak with tongues. See, you're going to speak with tongues. You may prophesy also. Now it's like they've taught. Brother Hagin taught, and he taught from Howard Carter. That's right, Howard Carter. They've been teaching for years and years and years that tongues is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. That's good. That's right. That's absolutely right. And they teach that prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue.
Don't have to be your own.
No, you don't have to understand it, but if somebody understands it, then it's not tongues, because Paul said, if you speak in tongues, no man understandeth. And I'd like to know what part of no man understandeth does no man understand.
And so, if an example of somebody, one certain person, and there's not an interpreter, but it's really not the tongue interpretation. He's given a prophecy. God's using that man to give to one person that understands.
That's right. That's right. If it is a known tongue, if it is a tongue,
it's prophecy.
It is prophecy.
It's a divine utterance from you either way.
Either way, it's a divine utterance because
you don't
understand
what you're saying.
That's exactly right. It's not you, it is the Holy Ghost. You had it.
So if you're speaking in tongues, there's no other. Tongues is always a prayer language.
Tongues is always between you and God, unless there's an interpretation that somebody else can benefit from. Without an interpretation of tongues, no man can understand. That is absolutely correct. Without an interpretation, you cannot understand tongues. Nobody can understand. can understand tongues without an interpretation.
But that's the tongue we're talking about, but not prayer language tongue.
Same thing.
You mean you've never, I guess you interpret in your mind.
Of, well,
you're interpreting it yourself. Yeah, I got it.
Well,
there is an interpretation.
There's an interpretation. Without an interpretation, you can't understand.
Yeah.
You must have an interpretation, Mary.
You know, that's what really got the crowd that crowded around the tension.
Yeah.
They heard them speaking. You know, they're like, these are unlearned fishermen, people that don't know my language.
That's right.
And they can, we can communicate. You know, Jesus did something to the language at the Tower of Babel. On the day of Pentecost, he did something else to the language. You know, he brought it in where, as they spoke, you know, even though they didn't speak that, even though
that's
Paul
true.
And Peter didn't speak that language, he could. And that was shown up a miracle. They know, hey, they don't
that's
know
right.
his language.
It is not all that uncommon for people to speak in, to prophesy these days in a language that they don't understand.
Amen.
Prophecy is not for the speaker, it's for the hearer.
Amen.
Tongues is for the speaker.
Yes.
Tongues is for the speaker.
Yes, sir.
Unless there's an interpretation.
And that's still kind of like prophecy and interpretation.
Well, tongues and interpretation together equals prophecy, yes. Because if you have a tongue and an interpretation, then it's like a prophecy.
Understood.
Then it can be understood. Now and here's the deal. We always, this is really not in the Bible, but it actually kind of is. It kind of is, but we Pentecostals all like to say that the devil cannot understand tongues. And I believe that. I believe that is absolutely true. The devil cannot understand when we speak in tongues. Why? Because it is not a language that has ever been spoken by any people. Because if any language has ever been spoken by the human race, you can be sure the devil understands it.
That's true.
He's been here a long time, and he's tempted everybody.
Long time.
He's tempted everybody. And in order for him to be able to tempt you, he's got to understand your language.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're speaking in a language that has ever been spoken on the face of the earth by any people, it's not tongues. The devil understands it. And somebody would understand it. It's not tongues. But of course, the only time that happens is when there's somebody there that does understand it. That would defeat part of the whole purpose is for the devil not to understand what you're talking about, what you're saying, okay? So why would the Lord use you to pray in a language the devil understands but you don't understand? That wouldn't make any sense. Now why would that happen? So the devil understands what you're praying but you don't understand. No. When you pray in tongues, the devil don't understand and you don't understand. This is between you and God. Tongues is not a language in any conventional sense of the word. It has no syntax, no rules of grammar or anything that anybody can figure out. If that were the case, all you'd have to do is get some hotshot linguistic expert to follow some of us around from place to place and hear us speak in tongues for a while and maybe get an interpretation, and they'd be able to crack the code and figure it out. And you wouldn't need an interpretation then to know what you were saying. That's not possible. God does not allow that. So tongues is absolutely a supernatural utterance. It's not a language, but it is a tongue that only God understands.
Yes, thank you.
Unless there is an interpretation.
Yes.
Unless there's an interpretation. There may be an interpretation just between you. If it's just you and God, there may be an interpretation. You may be able to interpret your tongue. Maybe not. But it's the same. It's the same thing in either case. Tongues is tongues. And prophecy is prophecy. If it's understood, it's not tongues. Okay, so here's the reason why I bring this up. Because people who don't understand Pentecost A lot of folks who don't understand Pentecost will, I've talked to a lot of them, and you probably have too, that a lot of folks will say, well, what happened on the day of Pentecost was a one-time event, and it happened so that God just gave these people the ability to speak in languages that other people were there and understood and all that. That's not tongues, and that's not got anything to do with tongues. That is not tongues. So they would say, well, we don't speak in tongues anymore. Tongues is not necessary. It's been done away with. People don't speak in tongues. So that's what they tell you. Because they don't understand Pentecost. Because at Pentecost, yes, they spoke with tongues. But the next day, now, this is something else we need to realize, that when Pentecost, the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and a lot of translations translated that something like they translate it this way, and this is even a better translation of it. For example, the Weiss translation, which is a literal translation of the Greek, says, when the day of Pentecost was in the process of being fulfilled. The Darby translation says, and when the day of Pentecost was now accomplishing. And the Young's literal translation says, in the day of the Pentecost being fulfilled. Now, what does that mean? That means that this was an evening event. This happened at twilight. Because that is the time of the day when the Jewish day begins at twilight. From sundown to full dark. There is a period of time there. It's sort of like it belongs to both days. It's not fully day yet, because the day doesn't really fully begin until full dark. So the previous day hasn't completely ended, and the new day hasn't completely come in until full dark. So that's the time that in the temple the priests were offering the evening offering.
Wow.
That's when they offered the evening offering, during the twilight period. That's when they offered. So here we've got, and that's when Elijah called down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel.
Praise God.
Elijah waited all day until the time came for the priest to offer the evening offering in the temple. And when the time came for the evening offering to be offered, then he came forward and prayed, and the fire fell from heaven and lit up the twilight. Just like on the day of Pentecost.
Wow.
On the day of Pentecost, you see, the day was coming in. As the day was coming in. You see, it wasn't 9 o'clock in the morning on the next day, because that would be the day was already half over already. At 9 o'clock in the morning, the next morning, the day was already half gone. But it's clear that it was just coming in. And that only makes sense if you're a Hebrew and you understand that the day begins at twilight. So, yes, as the day was coming in the twilight period, just about time that it got full dark, the Holy Ghost came. The evening and the morning were the first day. That is exactly right. Absolutely. The everything that was created in the evening. In the evening. And so the day of Pentecost began, the grace dispensation began in the evening.
Hallelujah. A new day.
So what happened was, these folks rejoiced in the Lord all night long.
Amen.
Praising the Lord, praying in tongues, having a great time. What happened the next morning, 9 o'clock in the morning? At 9 o'clock in the morning is when the temple doors are open. And the worshipers can come in and pray and worship. That's why everybody was there on Pentecost in the first place. They were there to go to church. They were there to go to church at 9 o'clock in the morning. So there was, the door opened, the apostles went to church, and everybody else came together. The apostles were still rejoicing in the Lord. People were still, they were still praising God. That's right, still drunk in the Spirit. And people, then they began to speak in prophecy, in languages that were understood.
Yeah. Right.
So we need to understand how this works. That
amen.
Tongues is tongues and prophecy is prophecy, and that they're not the same at all. And tongues is between you and God. Prophecy is for somebody else. When the Holy Ghost in the days when back in around 1900, when the Holy Ghost first began to be poured out, there were people. Brother Seymour's not him necessarily, but the guy that his mentor. I can't remember his name. Yeah, Parham, Brother Parham. Believed, and his people believed, that when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you got a language. Some of them thought they were speaking Swedish. Some of them thought they were speaking German. So they thought, well, we don't need to learn Swedish. We don't need to learn German. We don't need to learn Spanish. We just, you know, figure out what tongue we're speaking, and we just need to go to that language, go to that country, and just walk up and down the street speaking in tongues, and they will all understand us, just like on the day of Pentecost. No, that's crazy. That's crazy. And they tried that.
Yeah.
And it was a bust. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was a bust, because they didn't know what the world they were doing. They didn't know what they were doing. But that was 100 years ago, over 100 years ago. We know better than that now.
Amen.
Surely we know better than that now. That's not what's happening. When you receive the Holy Ghost, that is for you.
Yeah.
That's your prayer language. That is the sign of the new covenant. That is the sign or the mark of the new covenant. Just like circumcision was the mark of the old covenant. Tongues is the mark of the new covenant.
Amen. That's good.
Tongues is the greatest gift the church has. The greatest gift that the church has.
Jesus.
It's the greatest gift that we have. To be able to communicate with God in a language that nobody can understand but God.
Amen.
It's the doorway to the supernatural.
Yes, it is.
Glory to God. So like Sister Mary said this morning, you know, how we have no way of knowing how many things that we have, what we have accomplished sometimes by just praying in tongues. Because we don't know how to pray a lot of times. We're burdened about something. We don't know what. We don't know how to pray. Just pray in tongues.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Pray in tongues. Glory to God.
I always say, pray in tongues
till
you start that.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
You know, sometimes, when I pray in tongues, tears will come down.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then sometimes it's joy.
Absolutely.
But I know then, when that happens, I know it's my spirit connected.
Absolutely right. That is absolutely correct. Your spirit, Paul said, my spirit prays.
Yes.
I don't need to understand. My spirit prays, and God understands, and we're communicating. The spirit, my spirit, and God.
The perfect will of God.
That's right. We're communicating. It's not up here. I don't need to know what's... My brain don't need to know what's going on. My spirit knows. My heart knows. Praise God.
Yeah.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know, Brother Horton, we always talk about time release things.
Yes.
Peter didn't get that revelation of what Joel had said. Just right here in this time. That's what he got here for.
Yeah.
This is that.
Yeah.
Joel, but this is that.
That is true.
That Joel spoke right. about. I got the revelation
that's right.
of it.
And
it
here,
was time
that's right.
release. If he had gotten it before, then he probably would have messed it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he probably would have.
Mm-hmm. You